Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drew.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, what a beautiful day.
Beautiful morning. Here we are, Saturday morning, Rick.
Saturday morning.
You're off to where? South Gawler?
I'm going South Gawler versus
heading up,
Frilling.
I'm heading up to Tanunda to the sponsors' day today. Free booze and food.
That explains why you're going. Me. This would only be about the second. Can you still remember what colours Tanunda were or what?
It was there last week, actually, Rick.
So. Yeah, in the freezing cold. What was that?
It was a...
That was a rehearsal so you didn't make mistakes so you can get there.
So I knew what team I'm barracking for.
Well, and also to get a, so to feed your face the moment that the bell goes for the dining
room. Well, there you go. 1 o'clock kickoff. So here we go.
So while we're on it, we might as well do the tips for the BLNG.
We'll do last week's games quickly, Rick. Round 16. I'll throw over to you in a minute.
Yes.
South Gawler 11-9, Newry 2-14. South Gawler, Arnold, White and Zobel were the best three. Westlake, Scott Bentley and Mitch Norton were Newry's best. Rick, 2-14 looks like Newry win the game.
Oh, no, Phil. It wasn't like that at all. They were under absolutely constant pressure throughout. They hardly got a pass away. I think I mentioned in my review that even Hopner had about three or four balls smothered kicks from him off the boot. They were under constant pressure. A number of those points were rushed or whatever. They were never in the game.
Okay, so the never score the doesn't really reflect. Well, so 14-2, they could have won the game.
The number of scoring shots does, in my opinion at least, not reflect.
Okay.
Indicate the game.
Yep. So
and Arnold, Lockie Arnold, best on the ground by a mile.
The guy is a
leaping gazelle.
Yeah.
He really can play.
Yep. Okay. And the game I went to, Rick, last week, Tanunda and Angerson, it was a scrubber's old game. No real high standard of a game, but it was close all day and quite entertaining. But skill level very ordinary. One thing that, Rick, I did notice, to Tanunda's defence, they did have a couple late outs. One lad he got called up at Centrals, and the other lad had the flu. Saturday morning, he woke up and he's as crook as a dog.
Did he get it from you, Phil?
No. He wasn't that sick. They had to play two B graders that had played a full game of B grade. I'd never seen that ever at Tanunda Footy Club. Well, for many, many years, put it that way. So that's how short they were.
And I think, just sorry for interrupting briefly, but I think it is one of the indications of the very sad state of country football that teams are struggling to put players on the park.
Oh, lack of depth. I watched the B grade game, Rick. Honestly, if I had my boots with me, I could get a game in that.
No, don't be silly.
All right. Take those drugs away. Okay.
But it is a real struggle, and it's common throughout.
It is. It is just, the standard of the B grade was absolutely atrocious, honestly. Anyway, Tanunda winning this game, Rick, which I did tip, 8-6-54, Angaston 6-7-43. As you see, the scores were very low scoring.
Sounds like a pretty exciting game. Yeah.
Hahn for Tanunda was best. Voigt, which I don't know whether he was, second best. And Westhoff was third best. And for Angaston, Ryan Cochran and young Haddon was their best three. But yeah, as I said, didn't get any heights. Close game here, Rick, and I tipped. Who did I tip here? I think I tipped Frealing. Central, 13-5-83. Frealing, 12-10-82. For Central, Charlie best, Mitchell second and Coff third. And for Frealing, young Poulton, Dutchke and Lovellworth. So only a point the difference there?
Yeah, it doesn't really surprise me. I wouldn't have been surprised if Frilling had won. Again, I hate to say it, and it's not a personal reflection on anybody or any club concerned. The gap, they're also runner
well
clubs.
We go to the next game, Rick.
I mean, basically, forget about a four. We've got three teams that are worthy. And unfortunately, Gawler Central and Frealing, although they've got some good players, it's a bit like any league, any sport. You're only as good as the bottom half of your depth.
Yep. Well, that comes to this week, Rick. If Central, who Central play, they play Barossa. They will get beaten. And I'm going off the schedule here, but Tanunda play Willesden. Tanunda will beat Willesden today.
Well, Rick? I think so, particularly since I had a quick look at the teams and Mackenzie Isaiah is down with the Crows.
Yep.
And I think I've said to you and on this show as well, he can play. He's obviously not an AFL player. But the problem he's got when he's playing for Willesden is he's so far ahead of his own teammates, that he finishes up half the time getting pinged because he wants to do and be creative, and there's no one who understands what's happening.
Yep. So what it comes down to, Rick, I'll just quickly, looking the next week, the last week of the football, Central play Willesden.
Oh.
7 wins each. Whoever wins that will make the 4, which won't matter because as we get on to the next game now, Rick.
Yes.
Third played fourth, Rick.
Yes.
What a great game of football.
What a great game.
No, not a good game of football. Barossa, 23 goals, 14, 1-5-2. Willesden, 3-2-20. For Barossa, Mazzone. Best for Barossa, Dew and Griffiths.
The Tanunda recruit. You
and for Willesden, Davis, Clinch and Evans were their best 3. But that's 20-odd goals, Rick. Third versus fourth.
I know.
I got a pencil in the first semi-final. Go and watch.
The only thing, you know, having said all that, and I totally, listen to this, good listeners, I totally agree with everything you've said, Phil. But we said something similar last year when Tanunda played Willesden in a first semi-final. And Willesden, you could have got any money on, and they beat them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it won't happen.
Given normal conditions, exactly like the grand final last year, that won't happen again unless I've heard a rumour that Newry have started and put in extra water supplies to the Lindock Oval for the grand final.
They're watering as we speak.
That's right.
Rick, the last game was Kapunda lost the bye. Look, Rick, I just want to mention quickly, and it's not bagging them by any means, but not only are they some of the teams struggling, the umpires are struggling, Rick.
Oh.
18 umpires short last week, and about 16 are counted today.
Yes.
That is not good for the footy league.
The only thing, you're absolutely right, and again, I think we could stretch that over most leagues, most sports.
Absolutely.
And believe it or not, good listeners, we do supposedly have a schedule of which we never keep to it, but we were going to talk about the Crows non-goal and all that, but I think we'll hold that over.
Yeah.
Not so much the goal, but my suggestions about rule changes, which I would suggest are only there to try and make umpiring easier at all levels, because you can't get them.
No.
It's the old story.
Look, I've tried
umpires, no game.
Yep, I've tried recruiting when I was in the in the system, and it is a damn hard job. Yep. But I've never seen the Bros and Light Gaul umpires
struggling
like this. Using club umpires, never seen that before. But anyway, we are waffling
on too much. AFL.
No.
Oh.
This week's quickly Bros and Light tips: Kapunda and Angaston.
Kapunda and Angaston.
At Kapunda, at Dutton Park.
Angaston.
They'd be kicking off now already.
Angaston.
Angaston for me. South Gawler and Frilling, you're heading there.
South Gawler.
South Gawler by a mile. Tanunda and Willesden.
Tanunda and Willesden. I'm going for Tanunda.
I'm going for Tanunda. Good old Magpies.
Yeah. Oh, you're back.
We got a black and white scarf here, I can borrow.
It's free food and booze again, remember, team.
Barossa and Central, the last game.
Barossa.
Oh, that's sort of third versus equal fourth.
Oh, yeah,
so
huge.
So it could be 20 goals.
It could be.
Barossa for us. So, and Newry got the bye. So quickly running through the AFL now, Rick. Obviously, the final round, one game last night, cracker game last night, watching Essendon kick 3 goals, 13 or whatever it was. Essendon 31, Collingwood 101, which we both tipped Collingwood.
I think we said earlier or off air, but unfortunately the AFL and the BLNG have got something in common, and the gap between top and bottom is almost becoming embarrassing in both.
Yeah, and so are the umpires.
Yes, yes.
Hawthorn versus Frio.
Hawthorn.
Frio for me.
All right.
For me. North Melbourne versus Gold Coast.
I'm going for Gold Coast.
Gold Coast for me. Oh, how's Hardwick? 6-year deal in the Gold Coast. Wouldn't you love that?
Oh, well, he's taking his bathers, that's all. It'd be interesting because I don't believe he'll make any difference whatsoever. Famous last words, because it's a cultural thing.
Yep.
You know, you might get young kids saying, oh, I want to play under Damo, but no one's been able to turn Gold Coast
into... He loves the list. Yeah. He loves the list. He reckons the list is fantastic.
Well, given that he's on over $1 million a year paid by the AFL, he'd love any list.
Well, he's on $1 million paid by Gold Coast, and he gets about $600,000 from the... So he's on about $1.6 million.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much. And sitting on the Gold Coast with his girlfriend.
That's right.
Brisbane versus St Kilda.
I thought he was married, Phil.
He was. The secretary is better looking. That's right. Can we say that?
Yeah, we just did.
Brisbane versus St Kilda.
Brisbane.
Brisbane for me. Geelong versus the Bulldogs.
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs for me. Geelong, couple are in hospital already having operations. Yeah. So, West Coast versus Adelaide. Shannon Hearn's last game. And Shuey.
Yeah.
And Nick Nat's. Well, he's finished.
Logic would say Adelaide, but it's in Perth. Mm. They've won one game, Waco, last week. Mm. It is a big one. I'm going to go radical West Coast.
Have you tipped that on your tips? Or?
I haven't, but I'm about to change it to that.
I'm going Adelaide. Port versus Richmond Sunday, 12 o'clock.
Port could not lose.
Can't lose. Sydney versus...
Kenny forever.
Kenny. No,
best news I've ever heard. 2 years. Oh,
2030 he'll finish. Sydney versus Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Melbourne for me. And Carlton versus GWS.
Carlton. Even though Carlton for they're me. A bit cheeky. Have you heard what they happened this morning?
No.
They're resting.
They reckon he didn't get through the last session.
Well, they're using the word rest. Yeah. But anyway, they're in the... Eight.
I think they'll...
No, they can't get knocked out ever.
No, but GWS can still get in.
Oh, yes, that's true. I'm going Carlton, though.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, Carlton for me too.
All
Rick,
right.
Over to you now.
Well, listen, have you heard about the incredibly good news?
No.
Saka Cricket. The Strikers.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, the Strikers.
You've heard about it?
I have heard little pieces
there
of it.
There is an amazing new...
Yes.
...appointment to the coaching panel.
Ooh, who's on it?
Timmy Payne.
Then there's two Paynes there.
Oh. Yeah. Let's make
that clear. We won't mention any names there.
You said that, Phil. I didn't.
Okay. Tim Payne. What would he be coaching, Rick? What would he be doing?
A good friend of mine who has really got his finger on the pulse has advised me that he has a very special role on the panel, that he is the social media consultant.
Oh, no. Yeah, I reckon he's very good with the Texas.
Well, you've heard it. This fellow...
Yep, he's got his finger on the pulse.
He does not miss a beat.
Well, there you go.
Social media consultant.
Like that.
So there you go. So that is the great news coming out of Saka.
Wow.
Now, I think...
Should be a force this year.
Yeah. Well, Timmy, absolutely.
Is he going to play? Playing sort of...
Playing. Well, only if he can take his... phone out with him. Anyway, Matildas.
Matildas.
What a story.
Yep.
What a story. Absolutely sold out stadiums.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Television viewing beyond AFL Grand
and the gear,
Final.
All the gear.
NRL gear, etc. Oh. And what, you know, but I'm a little bit worried that everyone, the media is putting the cart before the horse here and saying, you know, how the Matildas have saved Australian soccer, basically saved Australian women's sport.
Women's sport,
We've now got councils, everybody coming out saying we want to build new this and new that and give money to them.
Yep.
How's this for, let's just take a chill pill and come back to reality. How's this for a little bit of reality? The day after the Matildas game against France,
yes,
which we've won, 13th of August it happened to be, on that very day, the reigning Australian League champs, Central Coast Mariners, in the Women's League we're talking about, played Sydney FC in the Australia Cup on the very same Wynn Stadium that the night
packed
before
out.
Had sold out,
yeah,
has a capacity of something like 23,000 people. You know how many attended the game? 2,540.
Must have been free to get in.
So maybe the kids were so tired from the night before.
Oh, that's what it would have been.
They just couldn't get up.
Yeah, two games in 2 days is what it was.
But, you know, I think it just illustrates, I hope it does happen. And it was great entertainment. But don't let's get so carried away at this stage.
And quickly on the Matildas, weren't we out of our depth the last two games? We got shown just how good...
Yeah, the reality is that we've got... And I mean, it's one of the problems of having a population only the size of Australia's England or France or Spain or whatever. But we haven't got the depth either.
No.
And that showed up.
And they were saying the England girls are all in the top league. Basically, everyone plays Div 1 whatever you want to call it. And ours are about Div 3, Div 4, Div 5, other than Sammy.
They're playing professional soccer in Europe, but they're not playing in the top clubs like the Spaniards or the English are, etc.
Yep.
Anyway, having said all that, Phil, we've reached a watershed.
A what?
A watershed, Phil.
Watershed.
Yeah, this could be one of the great defining moments in Australia's history, let alone sporting history. The WACA.
Yes.
The WACA. The Western Australian Cricket Association.
Yep.
The traditional oval, which is still the home of cricket in West Australia, have just announced an upgrade, a $150 million revamp.
Hang.
But this is where, I mean, this is the watershed moment. In that $150 million redevelopment, there will be no men's urinals.
Well, they're planting gum trees out the back or something, or what?
There will be no men's...
They're planting a bit of a forest out the back of gun there.
There will be no men's urinals. Now,
really?
What sort of society are we now living in? I mean, it is just insane. One of the
all cubicles or something?
Yeah, all cubicles.
Well, that'd be handy.
One of the Western Australian committeemen, bloke by the name of Paul Collins, was quoted as saying, "This is just disbelief." But all is well, Phil.
Yep.
Because the WACA CEO, would you believe, Ms. Christina Matthews said at the press conference, it's a move all about inclusivity and flexibility.
Wow. There you go.
And when pushed further by one of the media as to what happens in certain circumstances, she expressed the view that if it was an all-men's event and they needed more facilities, they'd hire some transportable toilets.
Really?
I mean, we've all been to the festival.
You go to Adelaide Oval on Sunday, I'll be at Adelaide Oval, no urinal there, tell you what, I don't know what's going to happen.
Look, Phil, I know you're a big wig at Tanunda, but have they finished their redevelopment?
No, not yet.
Well,
September.
Listen, when you're up there,
you
better tell them,
take the urinals out.
Well, you'd better tell them they're going to have to bulldoze it down because the urinals will have to go. I mean,
I'm going out with my son today. He's a plumber. I'll tell him to get rid of all the urinals.
I mean,
don't worry about putting them. You just put the cubicles in there.
It's insanity, isn't it?
Never heard of it, Rick.
Madam Matthews went on to explain that in the case of a single-sexed event, particularly referring to a female or single-sex event, having no urinals would allow them to extend the demand for the girls, the women, into the other. She did. She said, made it very clear, which I think probably was obvious to most of us, that it wasn't mixed toilets, but they're all cubicles. Anyway, as we're about to close, it reminds me of the two families. Two families. One had a little four-year-old girl.
Out on a picnic, weren't they, Rick?
They were. The other one had a little four-year-old boy. And they're going out on a picnic. They've pulled up at National Park. And typical of kids of that age, immediately they get out of the car. The little girl said to her mum, "Mum, I want to go to the toilet." She said, "Well, darling, there's no toilets here. We'll have to go behind a bush." So she disappears behind the bush with her mum, squats down, pulls down her knickers, and, of course, what's going to happen? The little boy says to his mum, "Mum, I want to go to the toilet." "Darling, there's no toilets here. We'll have to go behind the bush." So they go behind the bush. He pulls out his willy, starts to do his trick. The little girl, squatting, looks over at the little boy and says, "Mum, that's a good little knick-knack to take on a picnic."
Perhaps they can take that to the whacker, eh? Plant some bushes.
Oh, dear. Oh. Any team. Well, it's been lovely on Saturday morning. I hope you've all enjoyed it.
Yep.
And until next time, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.